Welcome to the T-Factor podcast, where I'll be talking with talented and tenacious women and men who know what it is to be different. Growing up, it wasn't easy. Hello, my name is Marilyn Grinda. I'm a songwriter by trade, a singer by heart, and an all-around explorer of the human condition. The T-Factor podcast is a space filled with candid and fun discussions about what it takes to overcome difference, with tales of personal experiences told by awesome, resilient people who inspire me each day, and I know they will inspire you too. This is a podcast for those who are proudly breaking boundaries and making sure the world adapts to them as it should be. How does it define them to be different? Let's find out. Visit t-factor.online for the show notes and more.
Hi, Estrella. I'm so happy to be with you today. Estrella is a beautiful, tall Spanish girl that I just met recently through the wing, because we are both wing members.
Mm-hmm. Winglets.
Winglets, is that what they call us?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was wingers, but that sounds a bit...
Right.
That sounds wrong, exactly. Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know what the wing is a co-working space for women. I remember when we first started exchanging emails, I told her, oh, I'll be easy to spot, I'm 6'2". And she's like, yeah, me too. And I thought, yeah, okay, another one of those who thinks that, you know, she's really, really tall, but really isn't really. But when I saw you and you arrived, it's like, I was surprised that, you know, that you're 6 feet tall. Are you 6 feet tall?
I'm six, yeah. It was good for me to hear that back, because I always tell that to people. It's like, it'll be fine to spot me. I'm very tall.
Right.
It's out of the norm. And when you said that to me, I was like, oh, wow, I've never been on the other end of this comment. Like, this is amazing. We're definitely going to find each other.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Usually, I never get that. Yeah. Every time people have to tell, oh, I'm wearing a pink sweater or a red top, whatever. Does it bother? Do you actually wear heels during the day? Or?
Unfortunately, I don't wear beautiful shoes as I would like to, for two reasons. First of all, I do have a lot of, like, my feet hurt. I always say, like, carrying this tall body is not as easy as carrying a very small body. And so wearing very high heels for me is uncomfortable.
I am.
And also because, honestly, I truly admire the women that I see that wear incredibly high heels.
I know.
With my height. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. For me, it's just like, uncomfortable, because I'm at the bar with my friends and, like, I don't hear what they're talking about because there's a big distance.
Uh-huh.
It's uncomfortable to be looked at all the time when you walk into a place, and so I definitely don't choose certain shoes because I feel like I'm extremely big.
Imposing.
Yes, like I'm very imposing. I also feel the dynamics of people when they first meet me, they feel intimidated. I don't want to be intimidating to people when I'm trying to make new connections and network and everything. There really is like a whole dynamic to being tall. Like, there is a certain way that you are perceived just by our height, and I'm sure that you have felt.
I feel it every day,
exactly.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a conversation that I'd like to have. It really is a matter of changing our own perception of how we present ourselves to the world. And that's been a work that I've been doing on myself for the longest time. And I only started to shift my thinking of on my body when I had friends who were even taller than me, and they would just wear heels, and you'd be like, how is that possible? I couldn't wrap my head around how they had the confidence and the I don't care attitude to just walk around in heels, even during the day, because I find during the day you just deal with even more people because everybody's out, everybody's doing their job being outside. You deal with even more people who can judge you.
Yeah.
In the evening, you know, you want
more
your legs.
More women wear heels. You're not dressed up. People are like, oh, she's dressed up. They assume that you have very high heels, and that's why you're so tall. While during the day, you're stepping into the metro and, like, all these social settings where people are literally looking around, like looking at you like, whoa. And you feel that you're different every day just because of, it makes a big difference being 5'9" and being 6 and plus. It's a big,
right.
the biggest
and
difference.
And that's the whole thing about my podcast and my blog is tall is great. But there's a
threshold
that you pass once you're 6 feet tall or six feet tall.
When it's not socially accepted for a woman, I feel like.
Yeah. And also where the world is not made for you.
Exactly.
You are an imposter, basically.
The clothes are not made for you. They're not designed for you. The
cars
and
planes.
Seats. I was going to say planes. It's just like, for me, it's the biggest struggle because I have these long flights when I'm traveling internationally to represent my company, and my legs just don't fit. And I get these people sometimes being like, oh, do you want to switch it for aisle? I'm like, I'm defending
my
aisle
way.
Seat forever.
Yeah. Or even my, the exit row.
Yeah. And
nothing drives me more crazy to see a short person
sitting in an exit row.
I think it should be by law. Like, they should make a law for the airlines that you have to be 5'11 plus
to do more advocacy.
But also we should, force the airlines to give us business class tickets and that's it.
Exactly. Stretch your legs.
I'm 6'1" and I need to travel business. That's it. Did you ever find...
the carry-on?
The carry-on. That's the word. Do you find that the carry-on handle is too low?
Yeah. There's all these situations where I've encountered the problem of realizing how the world is not designed.
No.
For us. It just isn't. And imagine coming from the South of Spain, everybody, like average... height is 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah, same as in the south of France where I'm from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's you really experience the world from a very different perspective, and I don't think people are aware of that.
You grew up where? In the south of Spain?
Yes, in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, in Córdoba. So there the average height is even, specifically in Córdoba, it's really lower. And, I think that the first time that I was aware that I was different was probably when I was 9. Yeah, so it's very early to think about it. Before?
Yeah, because they would put me every time in the middle for the class picture.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So, okay, you're the tall one. You go
to
in
the back.
Back and you go stand in the middle so that it does this angle.
I always was in the back. True. That happened to me from the age
from
of
the
7
get-go.
Or 8. But it didn't hit me, I'd say. It didn't really hit me because it was only those situations, but... there was a point when we were 9 and you're getting closer to puberty when also my classmates started treating me differently. Girls were starting
to
interact with boys, and I was always like the tall
Left
one
alone.
That nobody wanted to kind of like interact with so much
get
in
close
certain
to.
Ways. Yes, it's like that's when I started noticing from my close peers that I was different. I think it's a shared experience when you're a very... tall woman and you're growing up, we grow faster, so I was a head taller than any boy in my class, which made me a very easy target for them to bully
to
me
bully,
because of
yeah.
the insecurities that I probably triggered now that I'm older and I understand it. Back then I didn't know why. I was also quite chubby, so just overall a very easy target. But we all perceive things differently, I think. And, and for me, one of the things that really hurt me the most to this date, and I'm 31... is when women tell me when we're taking a group picture, right now it's the common thing, like you take a million pictures. My entire life, I've always had to hear my friends be like, oh, don't stand next to me because then I look short. Oh, why do I have to be standing next to her? I always look short. I'm like, those are your insecurities and you're making me tremendously insecure. It created an insecurity around me where if you look at my pictures from when I was 15 or 16, my friends are like all trying to look nice, and then I'm like, I look like I'm like.
Did you
deformed
learn how to do that? I know.
Yeah.
You do that thing.
You do that thing.
I still
thing.
Do it though.
You still do it. I don't do it anymore.
I
if
do it, and it works.
If you're not comfortable being in a picture with me, when someone is like, oh, you're so, I'm like, if you're not comfortable in a picture,
okay.
then I won't
There's
be.
There's an
but
angle.
I'm not going
I'm
gonna to
show you the angle.
I just don't think we should.
We're
have
filming.
To.
No, but I don't know. Look, I'm going like this. I stand up. I'll show it on the video because we're filming this. So I'm going to show it on an Insta story. So I'm standing up. So the girl is here and we're taking a picture. So if you put your leg in the front and you lean that way, bizarrely enough, it doesn't pick up that you're doing a weird
really?
Thing with your body.
Oh, so you
it
have
just
this whole
really,
trick? Okay.
I found the trick. And it really just brings you down about an inch and a half. So you go like that. You have the girl there or whoever, or the guy. I mean, everybody's shorter. And you, if you lean in just like that, it makes you, you know those angles
she
that they do? I have it professionally done.
I need to Insta story this. This is hilarious. But my concern is that we're not getting to a point where we fully embrace the wide variety of forms and shapes and heights that entails just being human. Like, why would we have, why do we think that it's aesthetically wrong that someone who is 5'2 and someone who is 5'10 or 6 or 6'2 are
standing next to each
other?
Yeah.
What's the problem? We come in all those shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
We've accepted the variety of differences in the human race in other aspects, and yet still we have, you know, those wrong concept that we all have to look the same. Like, we have to be heterogeneous in our shape, height, skin color, sexual orientation.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir. But that's, you
know,
but that's really one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast.
Yes.
Is that it feels like we have that conversation. That conversation is really ingrained in our society today, especially in America. But yeah, there's definitely a conversation to be had for tall people that has not happened yet.
Exactly. Because, and you know why I think this is? Because people assume that if you're a tall woman, because it is associated with being a model, which we talked about this that day, remember that most models are not as tall as we are.
Yeah.
But because they associate it with that, because of the treatment that the media has given, they think that your life has been
great.
Busy.
Yeah.
And great, and that everybody's just like, I don't know, like throwing rose petals at you when they see you, when the truth is that it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's, there's so many things that make you become self-conscious and insecure because of the way people treat you. And I'm sure that you had also the same experience growing up and, you know, seeing your friends have their first boyfriends and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you being like, there's
no way
for me.
No way.
This is just not going to happen. I definitely was, quote, unquote, invisible to guys. And
right.
When I say, quote, unquote, I mean invisible
not even
in that sense. I obviously wasn't.
Well, they would
invisible.
Run away.
Exactly.
Like, they would be, no. Yeah.
Yeah, they would be like, because they felt guys, and to this day, so, okay, funny story. I was on a date yesterday.
Oh,
and,
good.
This French guy was French. He joked, he was like, how tall are you? I'm like, of course, you get
French
that question
guy,
every
yeah,
day.
No, of course.
They're like, I'm 5'11", 6". And he's like, okay, I'm 6'3", so I'm still taller than you. That's good. And I'm like, because otherwise what? And he was like,
I know.
You know, I'm joking, but like, I felt intimidated when I first met you at the bar because you were probably wearing heels, right? And I was like, yes. And he's like, I noticed the difference today, and I think it's intimidating for men too. And he was very honest about it, and I liked that, but it's a constant feature or it constantly plays a role in that dynamic. And men usually feel emasculated by it. Or the opposite. Then there's the guys that come to you because, oh, I like tall women, because it boosts their ego. And it's like, you are liking me for all the wrong reasons. Like,
right.
You should not feel attracted to me because I'm tall or disattracted to me because I'm tall. You should just see the people and you know, just what your instincts or your likings tell you, but definitely not. It's just a factor always, and I hate that it has to be a factor, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I attract
people for the wrong reason. I feel like I attract a lot of men just because I'm tall, and for them it's kind of like a challenge to get me, but they're not there for the right reasons. They don't care about me. They don't, you know what I mean?
And you were talking about how intimidating you were growing up, especially with your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that people have a preconception
yes.
before they meet you, and they
yes.
just think that you're a bitch?
That's exactly. So that's the thing that, I don't want to say hurts me the most, but that's
yeah.
the thing that I try to overcome, and sometimes I probably overcompensate for. The moment I have become increasingly aware as I get more mature of the impression that I cause when I first walk into a room, whether I like it or not. And that's something...
Do you associate it with power?
So
do you find it powerful?
People, so that's the thing.
No, for you.
For me.
When you walk in the room.
I've had to learn to associate it with power because it was shameful for my entire life. Walking into a room and just having everyone turn their heads around. It's how you interpret it. Like, I've had to learn to turn it on my favor, because the truth is that I did not choose to have that attention. It's a lot of unwanted attention that I might not want to have. So now I choose it to utilize in a powerful way and to own it. But the moment you walk into a room, whether you're like it or not, or whether you're trying or not, you cause a certain impression. And that impression comes with a lot of assumptions about who you are just because of your hat and your presence.
So, and you're pretty.
And some people are going to think of that as a positive thing. Oh, my God, she looks powerful, determined, mm-hmm. and someone that can charm, or someone that I want to associate with because I...
Like the energy.
And there's people that are going to assume that you're either a bitch or that you're self-centered, that you're, like you said, that you don't have anything else. I've had to defend myself and my work being a founder of a tech company in front of so many people just because of the way I look. They create some assumptions. I get asked a lot of times by men at fairs if I am the model that has been hired to represent the company.
Oh my God.
Which is
insulting. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
But it is insulting that people have the concept that if you look a certain way, you can only be a certain set of things.
Yeah, so tell me about your company, because I definitely want you to promote it because it's great. Application. It's an application called BeWoom.
Yes, it's an application that helps women understand their bodies and understand their symptoms and address them by building habits with guided exercises, recommendations, tracking their symptoms, seeing how they evolve over time. And we focus a lot on intimate, maternal, and sexual health. So everything that's kind of like taboo. I guess that probably because of my experience of feeling like you don't fit in, I've just been very drawn to a sector that's even more of a taboo. It's like, if I'm going to be different, I'm going to go all in.
You end up doing what you think will make an impact in this world because you know what it is to know adversity.
Yeah, I think that what really moves me is the fact that probably in my case, I was more hyper aware of the discrimination against women in certain things. So because I didn't fit into the female traditional role, the woman is a little bit more submissive than the man and follows his lead. The woman is usually shorter than the man. If you think even visually the way couples are represented
everywhere
by the media everywhere, it's like the woman is slightly shorter. The woman is slightly less successful. The woman is... And I became hyper aware of the ways in which even just my presence made men are uncomfortable and insecure in the way they try to undermine me. And that made me a very staunch feminist that wants to really see equality. And I think that for me, having women be empowered about their health and their sexuality, it's at the root of really achieving empowerment in every other stage.
Oh my God, I love that. That sounds very powerful.
Yeah, I think that my experience of not being considered like the role model woman or female role really made me want to just disrupt completely what that even is.
So tell us about the app. So it's a membership, isn't it?
Yes. So there's a free version where you can, you know, take some tests, find out about the state of your health as it is, and get some...
Okay, wait. So let's go back. So you take tests, and what do you mean? They ask... It's a questionnaire?
It's questionnaires. Yeah. So questionnaires about lifestyle, demographic, symptoms, whether you're experiencing pain during sex or urine leaks, or if you have a baby, if you had a C-section, so that we understand the picture and the baseline level that we're starting with.
Goodness, I wish I had that app when I was having my kids.
Exactly. A lot of women that download our app are moms because they know that their bodies are changing and they need to kind of like stay on top of it. And honestly, the current healthcare system is not really supporting women after motherhood.
In America or in general?
In
your
general,
experience?
But in America, it's brutal.
It's brutal here, yeah. Because I've heard amazing stories in France, for example.
Yes, France is very well.
After you have children, it's the government actually gives you 10 sessions with a
physical therapist
for your vagina. True. And they do that in Spain too.
And so we were in Spain and we were researching and we saw that was happening, that in France women got 10 sessions of pelvic for physical therapy, which should be the norm,
right?
And we decided, okay, in the meantime, what can we do to get this type of care to women?
Is awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's so important. And what's the thinking behind having those pelvic physical therapy sessions? Is it to regain a sexual life?
Everything. No, because the
ASAP. And keep your husband?
No. Can you imagine? See, that for me would be like the opposite. It's more about the woman actually taking care of her health journey and her pleasure and making sure that she's fine instead of feeling like she just has to take care of the baby and the husband and not prioritize herself. So it's the pelvic floor, it's tied to the muscles of the core and the abdominals. So basically the whole area goes through a lot of pressure and stress and injuries during pregnancy and birth. And so if you think about it, it's, you know, crazy that all the soccer players, sports players, every time they get a little injury or something, they get physical therapy right in their legs. The muscles are important. And yet women create life in their core. Their muscle structure completely stretches and wears 10 times more weight. And yet there's no protocol where women receive, like in France, physical therapy.
Attention.
This is to just restore the entire muscle structure, because otherwise that's the root of incontinence, chronic incontinence, organ prolapses, diastasis recti, so the abdominals don't fully close again, and therefore they're not supporting your organs properly. Back pain, also, if your pelvic floor and your abdominals are not properly toned, your back is going to suffer. Like, everything's connected in our body. So it's really important. And then also, obviously, there's the sex part of it.
Right.
Like, if you work your pelvic floor, have a very strong role in orgasm and pleasure. And so if it's damaged after birth and pregnancy, your experience is going to decrease.
I just find that an app like yours could really help people before getting pregnant, during pregnancy, and especially after.
Yeah, especially after, when it comes to, like, how do I, after all the changes that my body has gone through, how do I make sure that I set myself up for a healthy journey post, so that, you know, particularly now that we're living longer, you don't want to be carrying. Like, I've met women that have told me, thank you so much for what you do, because I've been having incontinence since I had my second child 30 years ago, and nobody told me there was any solution other than wear pads. So we always patch things, right? We always put a patch
for
instead
women.
Of looking at the root.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's like, no, this is something that could have been avoided if right after your birth, you would have had the right type of support and guidance. You know, these things matter, and women have just been told that they had to learn to live with it, because that's what happens, and that's not true.
Oh, I love how you're all, you know, you're a real Spanish bull. I want to go back just very quickly to, you mentioned bullying when you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that it came from both boys and girls? And also, I heard you say that you think you were an easy target. Did you realize that afterwards, now that you're an adult, we were an easy target?
Yeah.
I think I was.
Yeah.
But what does it mean?
If you have a feature that stands out of the norm, you're going to be an easy target. Whether it is that you're getting the best grades in the class, that you're taller. For me, definitely, I felt like I was an easy target because I was extremely tall, chubby, and I didn't have a strong character, like what you mentioned right now, of me now being so, having such a strong character. I think it was built during these years because I had to. I had to defend myself. I was very timid. I was very, like, low-key and nice to everyone, and I had to learn to stand up for myself. Like,
when
no
do you think
choice.
There was a shift?
When I was 14.
Oh, yeah? There was a clear
for sure.
moment.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I need to step it up. Like, I need to start defending myself. Yeah. There was a big shift.
Were you feminine? Did you look feminine? Like, did you? Because often tall people have puberty that starts later.
Mm-hmm.
So breasts and all of that comes later.
I didn't look feminine until I was 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that it was at the same time me owning more of my feminine side, at the same time that I developed a very strong personality so that people wouldn't attack me anymore. And I've even, like, become recently aware through coaching and everything of how much of that, those experiences have carried into my adult life and how I still have that kind of, like, defensiveness about me of, like, where am I going to be criticized? Where am I going to, you know, like, where's the next slap coming from?
Yeah, because you know it's coming.
Because it's coming.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, for things that you're really not intentionally doing, like, just your presence, going back to that, just, like, walking into a room, someone feels insecure and they feel they need to point out something that they don't like, that they... And now I understand the psychology of it, is them feeling threatened. But when you're growing up and you don't have that type of intelligence, when you're like 14, 15, you just wonder, why is these people trying to hurt me? You know what I mean?
Did you feel that you have to bend forwards and backwards or make people laugh or make people feel more comfortable about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to be the first one to laugh about my height, so right. people wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
Mm-hmm. At least you own the narrative, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, for you, owning the narrative is to make fun of it.
It was at times. Now I am very clear about it. It's like, if this makes me feel uncomfortable, we should not be sitting together, you know?
Mm.
Because I'm not going to be punished for my entire life for being 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with society punishing me
yeah.
for being 6 foot tall.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I want to have that conversation here. Mm-hmm. Where do you find your clothes?
Oh, my God.
We were just talking about
right.
Rent the Runway. Which is a whole conversation we need to have.
Yes, I just started using it, and my concern the entire time was that they were not going to have that many sizes for me. Not because my size is rare, but in terms of length. Like,
so just,
all the dresses are, for me, short skirts.
I know.
Like work dress, and I'm like, it looks like I'm going to go to a club.
Yeah, exactly. Or also the waistline is too
yeah.
high.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I also use Rent the Runway because I've come to a point where I was not into fashion because I couldn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the past few years, I've come to realize, and especially thanks to social media, that there are places where you can find clothes. So
yeah.
I definitely want to experiment more, and I use Rent the Runway. Rent the Runway is an app that you where you can rent clothes, and it's super easy to use, guys. So if anybody is into the mode of experimenting and going through their closet and just keeping the essentials, you keep your essentials, and Rent the Runway comes in where you just want to play and have fun. But literally, I have found strapless dresses that I would never in a million years wear because I have big shoulders
yeah.
and I find that a strapless dress is imposing.
I felt the same way
right?
about that. Yeah, for a very long time. I was like, I didn't wear certain specific types of clothes.
Yeah, because it
because
makes you bigger.
It makes you bigger. Exactly. Not looking bigger is a constant in my thinking when I'm choosing
right.
clothes. I got it from society, like I said, like the subtle ways in which society rewards or punishes people for being a certain way. Like if I wore something a couple of times, people told me like, oh, you look very big today or something. There
yeah.
you have it. Like then the seed is planted in your brain forever.
Yeah, forever. Exactly.
Yeah. There's definitely things I avoid. Yeah.
Were your parents encouraging? Were they helping in your
yeah.
psyche to own your body?
Oh my God. Yes. And I'm sure I need to talk to my mom at some point about this because I'm sure that she also had a hard time like seeing me suffer.
I know.
Because every time we would go try to find clothes, I would end up
crying. Yeah. It's an excruciating
room.
Me too.
I couldn't wear the clothes and the brands that
my mom got into
using.
Fights. She got into fights with people who looked at me when I was trying on things. She was like, yeah, so what, she's tall.
Yeah.
And
good.
That yeah, but it mortified me even more because it made me feel like a clown.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
poor, I mean, I get her
yeah.
Defensive claws coming out because I'm her daughter, but it destroyed me, you know. But yeah, going into a store, and that's one of the things I talk about in my blog, is it's an excruciating experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly when you're young and you see that nothing fits you. Nothing. There's no way I couldn't wear the same clothes my friends wore. And back then, that's very important. You're like learning to like socialize and
yeah.
everything. So that's why when people now criticize me like, oh, you don't know what it is because you're tall and slender, I'm like, no, you don't know
yeah.
what I know.
Yeah.
I've been through it all. Now I'm a medium, so that's easy to find. The problem is that the length. Pants.
Yeah.
Pants are always the worst.
But do you cheat? You manage, if you get pants, you just let them out, or do you...
I've gotten very into Capri pants.
Capri pants, yeah.
Because that's what every pant looks on me.
We were so lucky those past few years,
yes.
the Capri pants have
yeah.
been very fashionable, right? Do you have other go-to brands that you know you'll...
Now, Zara is starting to make shoe size up to 43rd, which I was like...
43?
God, yeah. 43 is usually only available online, so you have to order it.
I've never seen that.
Yes, because it's not on the store. It's on the online... Topshop has all pants in two sizes, right?
I
not sizes,
I thought they
length.
Called it a tall section. I just shop... at the Tall.
Yeah.
When I lived in London early 2000s, that was the only store in the world where I could find clothes. Mm-hmm. Feminine clothes, because yes. if I didn't want to wear what the guys, and that's why I was a tomboy for all those years, anything my size. So mm-hmm. Topshop is where I discovered.
I definitely noticed that it's getting better, but I think that that's also because the next generation, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're on average taller. And so I think that it has had to, like, the industry has to adjust.
Adjust, yeah.
To the fact that now new generations are taller. So I'm starting to not be...
Oh, so those leggings, I'm just checking you out. Every time I have somebody on the air, it's always checking out the leggings. Aritzia, I have those.
Aritzia has very good, amazing size leggings.
And super stretchy.
They're my length. Usually they don't make it. Most brands, it's just like half of my calf.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's winter, people. You know what happens to me a lot that I've been realizing lately, because I've been going to a lot of fitness classes, like trying out different ones. TRX, bar, and all these like circuit training and Pilates. And I don't know if you've had the same experience, but I feel like there is also a niche for training specifically designed for tall women.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes the exercises that you're told to do are really hard to maintain, having a longer body and a long neck like you and I have. It's actually hurting your neck, hurting your shoulders.
Absolutely.
And they're like, relax your neck. And I'm like, I can't relax my neck, because then my head falls back. Like, you don't understand. It really...
Oh, they ask you to go faster. Like,
or
I cannot do...
With burpees. I do two burpees and I get dizzy.
Yeah, and the girl next to you does like four.
That's... Yeah, exactly. Because they're like 5'2".
Yeah.
But when you're tall, you just take longer in doing certain things.
I think so. I'm glad that you noticed, because I wasn't sure.
I wanted to also discuss it with you, because I think that it's about being tall, and it's just not, you know, the exercise patterns and the postures are designed for standard height, for 5'7", 5'6", and they're not designed for 6+. So I really want to develop a program exercising that it's designed for the body that we have.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And if there's any yoga teacher listening to this or fitness coach...
Please contact us.
Yeah, contact us. Hit us up. It was a pleasure talking to you today, Estrella. Good
so
to
fun.
Meet you. I'm glad. I'm sure we're going to be... What did we say? Not wingers, but winglets?
Winglets. Wing buddies forever.
Wing buddies. See each other around here in New York City. And thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
We just had one more thing to say, because we can't stop talking. We were talking about the perception that people can have when we walk in a room, and you were talking, Estrella, about walking into a club.
Yeah, it's like my experience starting to go out with my friends and just walking into clubs in the south of Spain, and not just everyone turning their heads to look at me, but just getting a lot of unwanted feedback without consent. Just people feeling like it's okay to make comments about your body. And to say things like, first of all, I had to respond to the question, how tall are you, every day 100 times. That's
during the day, and now it's the night time.
It's night, so it's like my second half of the day answering that question, which made me, my good friends who know me already, they know my face when I'm just like extremely annoyed.
Yeah.
Because it's the 10th person that before even asking your name or what you like to do or what your passion is, they feel it's okay to be like, how tall are you? I'm like, how is that piece of information going to change your perception of me? Don't you see it? I'm very tall. That's why I say now. I'm like, I'm very tall. Don't you see it? You saw it. We all saw it. Can we not, you know, have this?
Yeah.
And then having all these unwanted comments about, you know, like, oh, it must be hard to have to find a boyfriend. Oh, it's going to be very hard for you to actually find someone. Well, that's because you guys are insecure, not because of my height. Like,
exactly.
My height is not the problem. And yeah, just like without giving permission, having people feeling like it's okay to make comments about. Imagine how it would be if I would make that comment to someone else, you know?
It wouldn't even cross my mind.
Exactly, it wouldn't even
like,
cross my mind.
That I would go and meet someone and say, oh my God, it must be hard, right?
Exactly,
like,
but
I cannot
people wouldn't
even
feel like it's okay. So why is it okay for you to make me feel like I'm an alien, you know, just when you haven't even met me? So yeah, it's
yeah, that's
just
the feeling I've always had whenever I go anywhere.
Like, something that it always plays a role in your life, and it shouldn't. I think that the physical appearance of a person should in no way just impact how they're perceived.
I love that. We can end on that.
That's it for today, my friend. If you liked this episode, make sure to let me know about it. Please take a moment to leave a comment on iTunes so this podcast can benefit as many people as possible. You can also screenshot this episode and post it on your stories. I'd love to know who's listening out there, and I'll make sure to feature your post in my stories. Nothing touches me more to know that my music or my podcast has impacted someone in a positive way. Don't forget to visit my website, www.t-factor.online, for the show notes and more information about my guests and myself. My blog posts are there waiting for you to enjoy. And from my T-Factor to yours, thank you. Hold on.